In the Diamond Sutra, there's one of the stanzas goes like this. The Buddha told the Venerable Subhuti, "Well said, Subhuti, well said. It is so. It is as you say, that Tathagata blesses bodhisattvas with the best of blessings and entrusts bodhisattvas with the greatest of trusts." So to get blessings and trust, how do we get it? Is there merit? Is there a body of merit? When we do, whatever we do, when we cut or lift or nail or split or fold and carry, like when we cut an onion with a knife or cut a piece of redwood or lift a ladder or a bag of groceries or an armload of wood, what are we doing, and what is doing, and who is doing? Who is doing it, and who is doing it or this? I sometimes dig. And so when I dig, it might be soil, some call it dirt. It might be humus or compost. It might be the droppings of the chickens. I dig. My name's Doug. Past tense of dig. So who am I? And I think we each ask that. Who am I? Sometimes we ask, who are you? The self of who am I? And I am my father's and mother's son. And there are a lot of sons and daughters of mothers and fathers here. So that's some of who we are. I am a student of many things. In college, studied geology and engineering. I was a student of Katagiri Roshi, and now a student of Michael Newhall Roshi. I'm a breathing organism. So where is the I am when I say I am? Where is the I am? So is it in my left foot or right foot? Is it in my left hand or right hand? Is it up here? Is it here? Where is it? And what is the self? So we come here, we bring our history here, we bring our conditions here, we bring our aspirations, we bring thoughts here, and we sit, whether comfortably or uncomfortably. It's like, what am I doing? And who is it that is doing it? The 10th grave precept goes like this. No abusing the three treasures. The three treasures are the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha. Our Buddha nature, the truth, the phenomenal world, we take refuge in that. When we do our vows, we're taking refuge in our Buddha nature. You know, we can consider it taking nature in the Buddha. Where's the Buddha? Is it an entity? Or what is the Buddha? What is the Dharma? What is the truth? What is this? And Sangha, taking refuge in the Sangha, our community, our family, our colleagues, our fellow monks, our the rest of the organisms around. And Kōbun Chino Otagawa Roshi, he defined the 10th grave precept like this. No abusing the three treasures is experience the intimacy of things. Experience the intimacy of things. Experience can also be, can say practice, but we experience, we practice being intimate with all that we do. And we do it again and again and again, whether we're cutting an onion or cutting a piece of wood, whether we're preparing to stop at a light because it turned red, or there's a stop sign. How do we be intimate with all of this? And who is it that is intimate? When we practice mindfulness in our day, there are many attributes of mindfulness. There's and also no attributes of mindfulness. When you begin looking at the attributes, their borders disappear and the attribute disappears. But for example, some of us, when we meditate, we focus on our breath, full, long, deep, mindful breaths, moment to moment. It develops concentration of mind. Focusing of mind, maybe not tight focus, but general focus of mind. Some biologists, they, for example, in walking with one of our members, Eric Remington, he likes to stop and see, stop and listen. This is another way to attribute of mindfulness, to stop and really listen and really taste the listening, really see the sounds. That's another attribute of mindfulness. Then there are thoughts and our concepts that we have that we become mindful of at different times in our day. And the thoughts, I don't know if anybody's ever held a thought, contained a thought, packaged a thought, or if it just dissolves of itself. Then there's the consciousness of perception. And all of these are attributes of mindfulness. So these attributes are seen when we make distinctions. So we're seeing part of the picture of just this. Fundamentally, it is just this. Just this it is. And we each get to see this. And we might bring a lot to seeing this, which really prevents us from really seeing what it is. And so when we can watch how we watch, what attributes we're attributing to things, we can also see the impartial quality of our watching, of our mindfulness. And then it expands. Also in the Diamond Sutra, there are many passages that speak of a noble son or daughter, and talking about how whether a noble son or daughter giving countless gems and jewels to the Buddhas, to the hundreds and thousands of Buddhas, how much merit you get, how much merit is produced. It says that a noble son or daughter, if a noble son or daughter grasped but a single four-line gatha of the perfection of wisdom, the body of merit produced, it, as a result, would be immeasurably, infinitely greater. So the body of merit produced as a result of understanding a four-line gatha is infinitely, immeasurably greater than giving everything you've got to the Buddhas. So to get it, to get this, to see this, there's, the Diamond Sutra says, the body of merit produced. So I started off by talking about, is there merit? Is there a body of merit? And I don't know, you know, that's why I'm asking. And maybe you can help me with this one. But the is there a body of merit when we practice the first paramita of generosity? When we give, is there merit in giving? And I wonder if there's merit in receiving. Of course, when you receive a gift or something, you're getting the use of something that has previous previously moved down the pike, and now it's yours to get, whether it's a five spot, whether it's a bouquet of flowers, whether it's a house somebody's given you, whether it's, then it's yours to then, what do you do with it? How do you receive it? And there's gracious ways of receiving something. There's open-hearted ways. There's very cold-hearted ways of receiving. And maybe unmindful or unthoughtful ways of receiving, where maybe somebody gives you something and you say, oh, I already got one of those. So that's being, in a way, you're hosting the host who's giving you the gift. And how we host when we receive is worth considering. And it varies from moment, from exchange to exchange. And is there merit? Merit almost sounds like it's something that we have when it's like, oh, I've got my merit. It's stacking up. But it's hard for me to grasp merit as something that accumulates, because where do you put it? Or something that's tangible. I guess the way I see it, you know, when having a chance to help someone else, there's opportunity to either really, for example, my cousin is 82, and during the week I stay with him in his barn in North Oakland, and I want to help him. So he said, "Doug, you're helping me a little too much. Do you think I can't take care of myself? I mean, come on, back off." So how do you regulate help? And what is help? Is the help, am I doing the help because I'm going to get something out of it? I've worked for an organization in San Diego, a youth symphony, where people would contribute to the organization and expect something. They'd give $10,000, they'd expect to be invited to be on the board, to get an endowment named after them of a student scholarship. So when we give, are we giving with reservation? Are we giving with a purpose in mind for the person we're giving to? When you give $5 to someone on the street, a beggar, do you then say, well, go have a bath. Don't use it for booze. Or do you just give it and let them deal with the whole realm of what that gift means to them? And maybe you get a brief glimpse at how they receive the gift, how they, it's like giving one of the street people a 20 spot. Can I give you a hug? Can I give you a hug? You know, they just can't believe it. So it's like, that'd be one way to get some hugs if you're deficient. But it seems like in helping, whether it's helping with a piece of wood, like yesterday we had, Abijah had a couple of people, including Zach, helping move these 3x8 pressure-treated pieces of wood that are really heavy down to where we're rebuilding the bridge over to Coben's Shrine. And a tremendous amount of effort was already required in order for that piece of wood to arrive here at Jokoji. The tree had to grow. It had to be cut down. The log had to go to a mill. The mill had to slice it up. Then it had to go to the pressure treatment. Then it's on a truck again, and all the fossil fuels used for transporting it to the lumber yard, a fabulous lumber yard down in Mountain View or Sunnyvale called Pine Cone Lumber. It has 6 acres of about every kind of wood you can imagine, and it's like Candyland for the builders, from glue lamps to just clear heart redwood to fine oak. It's just, it's not Home Depot. But it took a tremendous amount of work for it to get even there. And of course, to get it on your truck takes a lot of work because it's a lot of mass to put on the truck. And then a lot of molecules of gasoline to get it here and unloaded. And so here this piece of wood was cut to dimension before it got here. Then it's cut to another dimension by Abijah for its current location. So it seems like when we help at anything, maybe you can tell me something where there are no previous conditions to what we give or offer, where we're not just basically helping a form or a mass or an idea move a little further or to a new location. Basically, that's all we do when we help, is we're helping give somebody a ride, helping somebody across the street, taking care of sick beings. We're just helping it along. And fundamentally, right now, we have all arrived at the total summation of what we are. This is the moment. This is it, right here. We are at the peak of our life in this moment. And it may be stinky, it may be sweet, but this is it. When we begin to make distinctions, then all hell breaks loose. Suddenly we're inadequate. We're crooked. We're achy. We're inadequate. We're better when we start to make the distinctions. But prior to the distinctions, we're already here. And that is what the Buddha entrusts. That's what our Buddha nature entrusts us with, the ultimate trust to be here. And that seems like where the merit is. Maybe this is it. Because we get to be right here with what we have. And then are we ready for the next opportunity, the next moment where something is needed, something needs to move, somebody needs a hand? Are we ready? So of course it's good to not dwell on these attributes, on these conditions. But the Buddha does ask us to examine and discuss the attachments we have. And through this process of examining and discussing our attachments, whether we're discussing them with ourselves or discussing them with others, examining these, through this process, through this experience, this practice of examining and discovery, we get to see what we are and what we can see. So, I was having this conversation with Isaac yesterday about this tough nut to crack of altruism versus self-interest, the Ayn Randian notion of self-interest is primal. And they consider altruism as really missing the mark. And yet, through just a focused self-interest of what's best for me, whoever I am, How can one not see that everything that is accumulated or is received actually has ties to everything? And so in the evolution of our civilization, of this society we have, how do we deal with these huge forces of greed and that are after power? How do we do what we do in an upright way that helps them to see what this is all about? Or maybe that's not our job. So maybe I have two questions here. One of, is there a merit and a body of merit? And is it something that only we this individual me gets to access, or is there a body, a general body of merit for all things? And then how do you address this notion of single-minded self-interest that so many people have, that's basically driving our country in a way that binds it in all sorts of knots? Any comments?
It's a lot of questions.
What was the question again?
Is there a body of merit? Is there merit?
I've heard of a field of merit. Is there a field of merit? In scriptures.
In the Bible?
In the scriptures, the Buddhist sutras.
Oh, uh-huh.
Does it all go to a field? Some field that's intangible? I don't know. I like that, the image of that, or something about that seems to be okay with me.
Mm-hmm.
The Higgs field, or the energy that underlies the universe, maybe, is the field of merit in your terms. Also, it's easier to see maybe in terms of demerit. And it's easy to see demerits in the sense of destructive, malicious acts. So if seeing the four lines of the Gatha somehow enables you to avoid the demerit that you would have caused, maybe.
I'm starting to feel that merit is just ego. And if you want merit, then you will go get it. And maybe you'll get it, and maybe you won't. If you, if one doesn't want merit, then one may be able to listen to oneself and do what one needs to do, or in the moment. That's where I'm going, as fast as I can. So no merit for me.
There's no merit for
no
you?
No merit for me.
No field of merit either?
No.
Do you contribute to the field of merit?
There's no merit. I listen to myself and feel what I need to do in the moment. That's what I try to do anyway. That's my goal, because I only know that the moment is all there is. And as I realize more and more, that's all there is for me. So what do I want to do with that moment? Just be? Do I want my mind to start doing this thing? Or do I want to use the mind to figure out how to be in the moment once I'm doing something? I don't know. I'll let you know when I'm in that moment.
Kendra?
The question keeps coming to me. What could merit be? It seems like it's something that one's getting in exchange for doing certain things, almost like it's a currency. And if it's a currency, maybe of self-respect or reputation, what's it good for buying? And I'm not sure. Except that as we're creating value, and if that value is represented by the currency of merit, that we're adding value to perhaps the Sangha. We're not really adding value to the Higgs field, because that's constant. But maybe
that's Buddha nature, maybe.
Maybe and why say just the Sangha? I mean, why leave out the other two treasures? But maybe we're just coming into more harmony, and as Cliff points out, coming into harmony would be the opposite of what he defines as demerits, which would be increasing entropy, confusion, and destruction. So maybe merit is order.
Tanya, first.
Hi. Rhythm. Oh. I have this thing with order. Rhythm. Rather than order.
Tanya?
And just maybe the thought came that maybe there's merit where there's no self-interest, because merit could give a, like you were saying, kind of this desire to have something for the self, to possess something, to, I don't know, receive something. And maybe it's like all the other ironies where there, that isn't there. And merit just is, it's just part of the way things are, the way things work. It's just part of existence when we're in harmony with it. Just,
so, in the disorderly chaos of the universe, are the stars destroying other stars gaining merit? I don't think so. I think they're just in movement, and it's happening in a moment. They're expanding, contracting, and that's really all there is, and that's what we're doing.
And maybe the process of merit, for example, achieving a goal of getting a degree or a certification, then it's like, or a merit badge, you know, as a your state stamped license. It's a, it then opens another field of activity, another realm of where the rhythm of that activity is then, the requirements are different, and you're suddenly, for me, like practicing as a geologist once I have it and somebody accepts me as that, or as an engineer, or someone as a therapist, that the work, the summation of the work results in a piece of paper, an acknowledgement of that, that then opens up additional fields of endeavor, additional fields of additional realms.
Yes, but receiving the certification is not meritorious in and of itself. It's what we do with it, and how we use whatever it is we are given as gifts, or, you know, and how we use it for others, whether it's, and it's how I see it, whether it's meritorious or not. Not just the attainment of, well, I have a master's degree. That's not meritorious.
It seems like maybe, well, obviously merit is an idea, you know, that either an individual or a group of people decides to say this is worthy of merit and this is not worthy of merit. But maybe the idea that we're talking about is, you know, doing actions or things that are in line with rhythm or order, brings about a clarity or a serenity of mind that can deepen into its own self-awareness, if that's our goal. You know, whatever our goal is, we're going to dictate what is worthy of merit, what isn't worthy of merit, depending on what our goal is. So if our goal is self-realization, then, you know, anything that's going to lead toward that is kind of going to be in itself a positive feedback loop, you know, where it's going to deepen our sense of self-awareness and realization, and in that in itself will open up to deeper understanding. Mm-hmm. To tell you to the moon.
But also take care of your feet, because that might be the avenue of your enlightenment when you stub your toe and finally get it.